start her up.
Yeah, we're already
starting. Poop and pee.
Hey, fantasy boyfriends.
What's up, boyfriends?
Shout out, boyfriends. We're joined today in the stead of the broad-shouldered son of a gun, Brian Kenny, and local Lothario, Chris Wernowski, everybody.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, we were just talking about how it originally started by specifically Owen Benjamin having a fucking nervous meltdown.
Before we get into all that, I just have to play this because it's the best. That's all that's on for me. Let me see that Squire Ussy.
Is this your ringtone?
It's just something that someone sent to me.
Nice.
I am one thick bee.
I didn't get to watch it because I was at work, but I saw you post something. It's like a steamed hams.
Oh, yeah. That thing is fucking incredible.
That's the greatest Simpsons scene fucking of all time.
Yeah, and there's like apparently all these mashups of it.
Yeah.
And it's like this one guy did it and then made it into Gorilla's Feel Good Inc.
Oh, really?
And then also made a music video for it. And it's incredible.
There's like a cottage industry of like secondhand Simpsons memes. Where it's like fucking, you know what I mean? It's like all like transformed and shit.
David Itzkoff from, I think he writes for The Times or The Washington Post.
Yeah.
Is the fastest Simpsons meme creator in the game. I have never, like, there will be a Donald Trump news event that occurs and he will have a fucking Simpsons meme out about it in like 5 minutes. And I'm like,
he needs to make that app.
Well, it's Simpsons, the Simpsons generator. But he's like, it's his knowledge of the Simpsons must be like borderline like idiot savant. Like I can't imagine knowing that much about one thing.
It does help that we're living in a Coen Brothers movie, though. So.
Yeah. Those always end badly, though.
Yeah, that's always... Well, you're not wrong. My favorite thing that happened this week was... it's only Wednesday, too. I'm sure it'll be topped by the end of the week.
Yeah, but something bad's going to happen.
It's probably being topped right now, honestly.
But the Sam Nunberg six-hour meltdown on live TV was the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen. At least in that moment.
Hey, at least Owen Benjamin does comedy.
Yeah. Ostensibly, but yes.
Supposed to be.
Exactly.
Comedy.
There's the part of me, because I empathize.
No, I mean, he's a funny dude, whereas this Nunberg dude was funnier than all of us.
Oh, but absolutely. Just,
I couldn't have done it if I tried.
We called Sarah Huckabee Sanders a fat bitch or something like that. She's a shut her fat fucking mouth. That's gold. King. You are a king.
He's going down like a dude who knows he's going to prison. That guy's just... Like, I've never seen anything quite like it's obvious, he's such an acolyte of Roger Stone. It's such
absolutely.
It's such a Roger Stonian
who himself is just a gem.
Oh, did you watch the documentary?
It's gold. Netflix? It's fucking awesome.
First of all, half of it filmed here, which is an
awesome. Yeah, that's right.
I can't imagine being that confident. There's a level of just like, I don't care about anything. Like, that dude is facing possible prison time.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
No.
I'm surprised he hasn't just, if he gets called to testify before one of these congressional committees, if he doesn't just walk in and pull out his penis. If he does it, everybody's just going to be like, that's Roger.
I think he does care. And I think that's why he did all that and had that meltdown because...
Wait, are we talking about Sam Nunberg or Roger?
Talking about Nunberg.
Nunberg. Nunberg is... He definitely cares. He just wanted to kind of do the Trump-esque thing, which is to spit in the face of it.
I guess.
But because by the end of the night, he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to comply. But
because when your lawyer doesn't call you back anymore because you're a toxic fucking asset, he's like, oh,
he's
shit.
A lawyer, too. I don't know. There's... Of, the many Chris's that exist now, there's there's empathetic Chris. He's like, well, you know, if he fell off the wagon, it's kind of bad that we're taking...
Fuck him!
But then there's, like, there's conspiracy Chris, who's like, you know what? Like, this is all just a smokescreen for the fact that, you know, a Carl Icahn, an insider trade, you know, and then there's that part of me. And then there's a part of me that's just like, hey, maybe the world will blow up today and none of this will matter.
No, it's all the above. And the fucking administration is staffed by the dumbest people on fucking Earth. Like, there's no mystery to it. They're all stupid.
I keep getting blown away by who the dumbest people on Earth are.
I know.
Like, I can't.
The people running the country.
Well, they're in that group, but there's just so many fucking dumb people.
Well, that's why, going back, like, the whole Russian thing is...
And I'm not saying I'm smart either.
No. Yeah. Neither am I.
I'm just saying that there are people that are much dumber than I am.
But so here's either one or two things happen with the Russia thing, right? Either there's like this giant international cabal that is inside of our government turning us from within ourselves simply by retweeting a bunch of Breitbart shit.
Which you know is an FX show. That one's much more involved. They had a lot more planning. They didn't know that they could just do it with... buying shitty domain names.
But that's not... Okay, well, okay, maybe that's true, that swung the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it did swing the election, then that's what we fucking deserve. You know
right.
what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, for
they're
sure.
the fucking dumbest people on fucking Earth. That it was clearly broke... That you respond to a broken English buff Bernie. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Like, it's insane. And everything
that's
is...
That's why people... But that's why you get a guy like Donald Trump in charge, because... Then they don't have to go and do that research. They just go, I'm with him, and I don't have to know anything anymore. I don't have to double check anything. I just go, yeah, what he said.
Fact-free living is probably easy living. You know what I mean?
True.
It's like, look at all your friends. Go and find some friends and family that voted for Donald Trump. They're having the greatest time.
Well, and that's the thing, is when you talk to someone that actually knows, like it reads everything, has... And you get into stuff, they're not optimistic. They're not like, oh, things are going well, or oh, someone can save us. They're like,
yeah, basically.
They've done a lot of bad things, but so did everybody else. Like, everybody does bad things, and they just kind of have this malaise of, boy, I got to stop knowing things. I do know things, but... it would be nice to just be ignorant again.
Yeah.
But imagine having to wake up. Imagine having to wake up every day and having to, like, what am I going to have to justify today? Like, what am I going to have to kid myself into thinking isn't a problem? And
no,
for
but
me,
they don't think that way.
But
they don't think that way.
I do it every day with alcohol.
they don't think Cheers. That. What do I have to convince myself of today? Because they already. Have convinced themselves of a certain...
So you think they're living on that alternate reality plane?
Yeah.
Where, like, yeah.
That'd be exhausting.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fun to do that.
So you don't think, like, Paul Ryan is just like, fuck, like, I have to do this? I have to defend this now? Or, like, I have
oh,
to
yeah, there's
pretend
definitely...
this is not a problem? He's a lizard person. But,
yeah.
like, there's...
I'm thinking of, like, more of the...
The voter?
The voter than the... The voter that got his way and is like, hey, we got that black guy out. We didn't have a woman. That person is having a
but
good,
like the
easygoing time.
Oh, absolutely.
Time.
But there can't be 63 million of those people. That's probably a good 30 to 40 million of people. But like there are still fucking upper middle class white suburbanites that voted for Trump or whatever. And like, or who are like moderate Democrat, the myth that like these moderate Democrats were swayed, but really by like Hillary have big conkles. You know what? Yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking, it's the dumbest fucking narrative of all. Maybe just own it that your fucking party sucks. You offered nothing to people and everybody stayed the fuck home. In addition to voter suppression shit that the GOP has fucking done for the last 15, 20 years without fucking consequence.
I don't know. That trial's going on in Kansas, and it's like the Kansas voter fraud thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And man, it is like, it's almost cartoonishly bad. Like, just
I don't know what
you're
talking
inept.
About.
Like, the whole thing
yeah,
seems, it's just like,
Eat the mic too a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's going on? So the guy that got tapped by the federal government to oversee the voter suppression investigation was also sued over that in Kansas. And if you read anything about the trial, you just realize, like, there's a saying in journalism where it's like there's wrongdoing and then there's doing it wrong. Which means, like, there are people who sort of, like, maliciously do terrible things. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who are so stupid.
They just don't know
how to do it. They just do everything the wrong way and it just fucks up. And it's, like, that's what's so weird about this, the Kansas case, and the country as a whole. I was having a conversation at work with somebody today. And it's, like, and I'm not saying this because I believe there are good things to say about Donald Trump. But I think what scares so many people is that, like, our foreign policy in this country has just been basically the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have somebody who comes in, you know, is he the most savvy salesperson of those ideas? No. But he's trying different things. And it's, like, and yes, it's all, like, objectionable. I mean, it is just completely stupid and wrong-minded. But I think what bothers a lot of these people who are status quo people are just, like, they're okay with the world being shitty for 2/3 of the population of the planet Earth, so long as their life stays static.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, and at some point, it's like we're having a revolution from the wrong end of our population. For some reason, the rich are revolting. Like, and they're revolting against...
Yeah, because they're afraid.
And it's one of those things where, like, the minute I get my parents to believe that like black people in this country had it just as bad as they did. It's like, you know, my stepdad went to fucking federal prison and is retired with a pension. I'm like, you couldn't do that today.
Yeah.
It's like you had the luxury of allowing your past to disappear because they didn't have fucking computers.
Yeah.
It's like nobody can Google your bullshit. Like you fucking get popped, like you shoplift now and your life's basically ruined. And so, you know, it's, you know, once they realize, like that it's not, like, that the $35 a year of their taxes that goes to welfare isn't ruining their lives. It's fucking banks, and it's bad policy,
and wars, and their companies, and
a minute we all just go, like, wait, we're all being fucked. Like, you know, then maybe something will change. But until then, it's... You know,
until then, then
it's all tribalism. We're going to just be, it's tribalism. It is, and it's so easy to do. And I think,
it's very effective.
You have a tendency to sort of downplay that. Well, you know, oh, we got swayed by a couple of tweets. What scares me about the human condition is that it teeters on something so flimsy. Like, I mean, all it took was like somebody coming up and blowing in its ear. All you had to do was just blow, like, a weird suggestion into the ear of the consciousness of the voters in this country, and it spiraled into chaos.
Well, but I don't know if that's true, though. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how you can quantify that.
The problem is you can't. And so it gives you an out. You can say it's not a problem because you can't quantify it. If you could quantify it, if you could measure it, if you could say, like, this is the exact impact, then you can't deny it.
Listen. Call me crazy. I just am not ready to give the people who inject gasoline and super glue into their veins to escape their cold industrial nothing, like, credit to,
Are you talking about the Russians?
Yes. Like, I don't think they're like that fucking...
They're poisoning people in London! Like, I mean,
I know, but they're not playing 12-dimensional fucking chess.
I don't know, man.
No, they're just... They're basically trying to earn a living and stay in the good graces of Putin. So they're like,
you want a potato, job. You tweet.
Yeah. I mean, that's seriously, like, that's a job. So that's their fucking job, and it's easy to do.
Go back and read about the Twitter farms. Like, those people, they were like, they came, like, I'm like, there was one story, it was like, I'm an out-of-work journalist, they offered me more money than I've ever made, and all I had to do was just sit there and tweet all day. Like, they're not telling you what you're doing it for, and
No, I understand.
And if you're a terrible out of work journalist and can't put two and two together, maybe you shouldn't be a fucking journalist. but still,
so these are journalists. These are American journalists.
No, there were people in Russia, people here,
or whoever. Yeah,
and it's they come out and they're like, well, Here's a contract. I mean, it's... I don't know. We're fucking... We're a dumb species. Yeah. And our
concept... We're the smartest one.
What's that?
We're the smartest of the species that we know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But fucking dolphins.
Dolphins, they don't have cars. We can live where they live. They can't live where we live. We're still number one. But we're just... But the gap, because the population has grown so fast, I mean, we are at what? How many people worldwide? Like 6 billion? 7 billion?
8 billion, maybe.
8, maybe.
Yeah. There was not a billion people...
100 years ago.
100 years ago. Yeah. To go from a billion, not quite a billion, to 8 billion now, like, we have, there's always been the same amount, like, the same percentage of stupid people, but now there's 8 billion times more of those stupid people.
That's true.
And they have the internet. I never really thought of it
like that. Yeah. And they're all connected.
Plus, they have unfettered access to bad information.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, you probably, if there is a dolphin listening to this podcast, you probably just inspired the Henry Ford of dolphins. There's going to be dolphin cars before we know it.
And if there is,
you hear me. It yourself.
Steve.
You know what you did on vacation.
Steve Dolphin.
Did you ever see that thing about the lady that had a relationship with a dolphin?
Yeah.
Wrote a book about it. She was like, fuck the dolphin. Or
yeah, and then
off
it
the
just won an Oscar.
Yeah, really?
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water.
Oh. Yeah. Man. Dolphins are fucking smart. They, like, have their own language and shit. I've been watching a lot of Planet Earth, or Blue Planet 2, though, whilst high, so...
I've been gently sleeping to David Attenborough's dulcet tones on Planet Earth 2, available on Netflix.
This may or may not have happened to me, but I hear that if you drop acid and watch Blue Planet 2 on a 4K TV, it's awesome.
You know nothing about that?
I know nothing. I've heard somebody told me that.
Yeah.
When did you get a 4K TV?
This person was not at his house.
This TV? They don't know it's not in a room.
That's true. Okay. We're in an open field right now.
All right, so the world population was 1.6 billion in 1900. And it is now 7.6. So that's a lot of people to add. In 100 years.
That's a lot of fucking...
That's a lot. Just
That's a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's... I mean, that...
And most of us are idiots. Like,
yeah,
that's,
and that's what I'm saying.
It's like there's a handful of really smart people who make really cool things that we ruin.
And then
Nick
there's...
Nick Nolte, for example.
And then there's so many other people. There's just so fucking many people. They're connected more than ever. And... It's going too fast, and so there's got to be a way that it's going to correct itself, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, and it goes boom!
Yeah. Oh, man, it'll be so nice.
I just hope, as I've stated before, I hope that I'm close enough to the blast radius where I get incinerated instantly, because the worst thing in the world would be right on the edge, and you start to feel really hot all of a sudden, and, like, see the paint start to bubble, and then your, like, insides boil you alive.
I would hate to be in a nuclear blast and then eventually die of cancer.
Yeah,
like, that would be the.
Yeah, like, be in the like the radiation zone.
All my friends
zone.
And family are dead, and I don't have access to chemo. Like, what the fuck?
Actually, I read something like what to do in a nuclear like pretty much if you're outside of 20 miles or something like that, and the fallout and shit like that. If you are in a basement. It's really hard for it. Like, it doesn't penetrate, like, concrete or anything.
That's
like
why
that
they have bunkers.
Right. So, like, just get down to the basement and then,
contemplate
how everything
is changed.
And then
maybe decide to kill yourself.
Yes, like, right. Exactly.
Unless you have the Blast from the Past Brendan Fraser movie to live in, it's just, you're just better off just going outside and catching the nuclear fallout on your tongue.
I love the idea that there's a book that's like, what to do in the event of. It's like, that's like telling somebody, like, hey, you know what you do if you get into a fight? karate. It's like, I don't know karate. Like, and how do you, it's like, it's not going to work.
Well, you better start doing some karate then if you don't know karate. But I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Just do karate.
I'm gunless in an apocalypse. How long? Like, I'm dead.
Oh, no, yeah, you're done.
No, see, what you do is you go to your nearest CVS and you get all the antibiotics and asthma medicine. Mm-hmm. Then you're at least the king of your block.
That's true. Until somebody with a gun just, like, walks up to you and shoots you for it. Yeah. Walking Dead shit, man.
This is a good guy with a gun argument, I think.
It's going to be a much slower thing. I don't think it's going to... Honestly, I don't think it's going to be a nuclear war. I think it's going to be...
I don't think so either.
But... I think the robots are going to be the thing that keeps us... And it's not going to be that we're fighting them. It's going to be that we're fucking them and we stop breeding. And that's going to... And it's, there's going to be gaps in the generations and it's going to...
It's good.
Yeah.
That fucking might like help our fucking planet's resources replenish a little
bit. Well, I think it's going to take a lot of resources to build the robots. So, yeah. You know, it's like a wash.
I got my clean coal fucking robot. Her name is... She's a coal miner's daughter. It's Sissy Spacek, yes, is what I'm saying.
It's my robot Sissy Spacek. Mm-hmm. Academy Award nominee Sissy Spacek.
Yeah, Levon Helm from the band was in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
He's not a good man. In the movie.
Did you watch... Yes, how dare you besmirch the name of Levon Helm. Did you guys watch the Oscars? Because I sure as fuck did.
No, I never watched the Oscars.
Here's what I did. I watched the last three. I watched actor, actress, picture, and that's it. I do that every year. I have no desire to like get dressed up and go hang out at a friend's house.
And pretend like it's fancy.
Yeah.
I tweeted out a picture of, I just said, great opening bit. To the Oscars, and then I tweeted out a picture of Jimmy Kimmel in blackface as
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a hypocrisy overload for me, because I did turn it to it for like the first minute or two to watch.
I've just never cared about award shows.
I don't give a shit. Plus, I've never seen any of the movies. I saw three billboards. That's the only one.
Do you feel like
movie pass?
All right. Jimmy Kimmel's evolution as a person is genuine.
I do.
Yeah, I think it's genuine, but it doesn't make it any less
hilarious. You find it obnoxious? Or...
I find it, yes, irritating.
The thing is, like, Adam Carolla stayed the exact same person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay, like, you're kind of, like, perfectly incapable of maturity.
I have to give Adam Carolla his credit, like, as far, and this was years ago, I mean, I haven't listened to his show in a decade, but, like, when he was on Loveline... back like 10-15 years ago or whatever.
Oh, he's very interesting.
Fucking hilarious. Just like so quick and just like made me like howl laughing sometimes. And then like I was like, oh yeah, whatever happened to Adam Carolla? And then you find out he's going on tour with Dennis Prager. Like,
yeah, that's pretty fuck? Like, ooh. Isn't that Safe Spaces college tour or something?
It's like, ugh. Well, yeah, there's the other Oscar tweet I had. Women face an incredible amount of sexual harassment in the workplace, and we need to do better as an industry. And now, girls jumping on trampolines. And then my other one that I thought should got bumped. Tonight, I hope they give the Oscar to everyone acting woke before returning to their palatial estates to fuck kids. Because everybody in Washington and Hollywood is a kid fucker. Confirmed.
Yeah, I see your... comic ping pong literature here. It's it's extensive. It's a lot of fan fiction.
Yes, yes, indeed. But anyways, fuck the Oscars. Did anybody see like?
I saw Get Out. That's like the only movie that I saw that was.
I'm so unracist. I didn't see that movie.
And the fucking fact that Baby Driver didn't win Best Sound Editing.
I didn't see that movie either, but I really wanted to. Everybody said it was great.
I fell asleep. 2/3 of the way through it. It was good.
Yeah, but I feel like you could fall asleep 2/3 of the way through anything.
I can't. I'm a very good sleeper.
Even if it's like the best night of your life.
Yeah, I sleep. Yeah. I can sleep anywhere. I can sleep right now. I saw a walking nap. Yeah. Hey, thanks for writing the blurb for my book. here's your $50. I saw several of the movies. Like, The Phantom Thread, I thought was great. I thought the...
That's the one with
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I saw the trailer and it looked incredibly boring to me.
It's Paul Tompkins.
Tompkins.
Yeah, it's one of those pretentious Paul F. Tompkins pieces.
It's Goulardi's kid. Paul F. Tompkins was in P.T. Anderson's There Will Be Blood.
Was he?
Yeah, he right in the beginning. He's one, that makes the, sense. He one looks, of the guys in the first
game. Oh, yeah, with his old-timey mustache.
Looks like an old dandy.
Yeah.
a movie that I thought should have gotten nominated for Best Picture and did not was The Florida Project with Willem Dafoe.
Love Willem Dafoe.
That is an amazing movie.
I heard it was.
And good. It was... I think it maybe came out too early in the year or something for people. It was fucking phenomenal. And I... Like, I kind of grew up like those, like, white trash hotel kids in that movie.
Yeah.
And so it was like...
What is this about?
He plays the manager of, like, a shitty roadside motel outside of Disney World in Florida.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a kid and her, like... It's, like, basically, like, the motel's filled with, like, troubled, transient people.
Yeah.
And... It focuses on kind of the children who live there, and then like one of the kids.
There was a
mom,
documentary about this.
Maybe.
Yeah, there was on. I think it was on HBO. Like, they had this life where they would be like moved around to these different hotels as they like get shut down and reopen and stuff like that, and their whole lives. Yeah, it's fucked up.
And the whole, I mean, it's a heartbreaking movie, but he was terrific in it. The little girl who played the main character in the movie was terrific.
What was that?
It was really good. And I think that kind of got, he should have won something, and I think the movie should have gotten more recognition. See, here's the thing. Shape of Water was really good. Thought it was a really well-made movie.
Did
it harkened back to, like, really old, like, old Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a fairy tale. It's kind of, I mean, it's like... It's a little more. It's like an accessible version of Pan's Labyrinth. It's best if they sort of think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's not like weird monsters.
I the last movie I watched was The Snowman.
Wait, is it the horror movie? No,
the one from like last Christmas. That's like supposed to be one of the worst movies of all time.
It's Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, and it's like fucking everybody was like huffing gas like when they were fucking watching. Val Kilmer is in the movie, and like they show his face, but it's clearly not his voice and overdubbed like completely incorrectly. And, like, most of the scenes are, like, reshot of him talking from behind. And then with no fucking explanation, they blow up his head, you know? But, like, it's so...
This cast is amazing.
Yeah, it's, like, fucking... It's unhinged.
It's 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it's so bad, man. It's so bad that it wasn't even, like, bad good. Like, there's, like, a couple of parts that are, like, hilariously
It was
insane,
just terrible.
But it was just terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I fell asleep halfway through. But it's almost worth it for the Val Kilmer shit alone. And, like, the broken English, like, fucking his notes. Like, Mr. Police.
Was the dubs, were they done by somebody from a Russian troll farm?
No, it was just a deeper voice that was clearly not Val Kilmer. Like Val,
well, he had throat cancer, right?
I think so. There was something contractually too that I think had something. To
do. I will do the film, but I will not speak.
Yeah, I found it. It's Homeless: The Motel Kids of Orange County.
Really?
And it was an HBO documentary, and it's about these kids that like they're digging through dumpsters and just. Like, they live their whole lives. I just want the trailer. They live their whole lives in these little motel communities. And it's really...
I'm already crying.
Yeah, they all live in the same room. Like,
how expensive is it to rent a hotel weekly?
It's like $100 and some a week.
Yeah, it's. I mean, these are people that have jobs where you know they're bartenders. They're just making ends meet. They so they're paying weekly because that's all they can afford. So they're doing whatever they can. And they're not around for the kids, so the kids are all just...
They're like, looking after each other.
Yeah, it's basically like a California trailer park.
And it's really bad for kids because most of them go to school, but when you live that lifestyle, you're transient, so you switch schools multiple times in a year, mm-hmm. and it's almost impossible for kids to learn that way. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge problem that it happens a lot in this city, just because of the way that the low income housing system works. Mm-hmm. And you know, poor kids are considerable disadvantage.
What's his face? That sleepy heart or baby brain surgeon? Carlson? Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Ben Carlson?
Ben Carson.
He just removed all the discrimination laws in the HUD.
Carson erased all of the anti-discrimination clauses in HUD.
How can you do that unilaterally?
He's a brain surgeon. He cut it all out. He got in and out and you didn't even know it.
Yep. Yeah, he truly does have magic hands.
Yeah, that's what I hear. The $31,000 office?
That's what I
heard.
He bought a $31,000 table.
He returned it.
I thought they said that they weren't going to return it.
No, he did.
That's because, every other fucking month, one of the cabinet members gets in trouble for spending, millions of dollars mm-hmm. in public money.
Whoa!
And then they feign, we're not supposed to do that?
Scott Pruitt, the EPA guy, is like, yeah, I got tired of people hassling me in coach.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a shitty excuse because everybody in coach walks by you in first class.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like you're setting yourself up to just get slapped like that person in the movie Airplane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like...
I don't understand how...
And also, nobody... There's not...
Who recognizes? Who?
No one recognizes.
The EPA. Yeah.
Scott Pruitt is. It's like every other fucking 58-year-old white Republican.
Bald and limp.
Who was the fucking Health and Human Services Secretary that had to resign? But, I think either Scott Pruitt or somebody, Ryan Zinke or one of them, has, double the amount of fucking...
Oh, that's the Secretary of Interior?
That's Ryan Zinke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other...
Who wears the cowboy hat.
Yeah, and steered a $300 million contract to, one of the dudes...
Oh,
in
Whitefish?
Yeah. For Puerto Rico or whatever, which, by the way, still 40% does not have power.
Well, did you see the story about the president? They gave a contract to some crony and they were contractually obligated to make 5 million meals for Puerto Rico. They made 20,000. And it was a multi-million dollar contract.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Anybody
that's
can...
Like, I find all this stuff out and I go, oh, no. God, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Why am I taking it all seriously? Why am I trying so hard? It's garbage.
I mean, because it's just, you can get away with fucking just grift. It's all out in the open and nobody, that, any one of these hundreds at this point, in a year in, scandals would have fucking sank a fucking presidency.
Well, what happened yesterday? So you had... Yesterday you had the Stormy Daniels story.
Yeah.
And then something else happened earlier in the day that I can't remember. And that was what I wrote.
Oh, the steel tariffs.
Yeah. And so
the trade war we're getting.
Oh, that started out, yeah, and then but there's also Oscars failed because there's no stars except for our president.
Except for our president. I wanted him to put a winky emoji at the end of that so bad, yeah. An old person one, the old school
manual.
But
it's become so, I get tired of saying it, and I get tired of hearing people say, if Obama had done this or if Hillary had done this. It has become something we say so much that it is a cliche now.
Yeah.
And people, if they can live with their decision to vote for the guy, God bless you. I appreciate your naive approach
service
to the world, yeah. And I'm glad you'll be the only fucking people that get to vote in, 2 years, but I just, for the life of me, at what point does it, like, we have to be nearing the end. Like, I can't imagine.
I don't know how you can continue to go on.
Like, okay, so he eats. The most telling thing to me about, because people always ask, like, you think he's aware of just how bad of a person he is? Because people say, well, you know, he's lacks self-awareness.
He has his idiosyncrasies.
He eats fast food because he's concerned about getting poisoned. He knows how bad of a person he is. You're like, a good person doesn't worry about getting poisoned.
Very true.
You have, like, that's like, that's, you have some serious internal demons if you're like, everyone who is feeding me wants to kill me. Like, what have you, what terrible things have you done?
No, yeah. He's just afraid that there's going to be a shark in disguise in the kitchen.
Ha-ha!
I gotcha!
Joel Jabberjaw's got me again.
Hates sharks.
Deep cut Hanna-Barbera reference there for all of you.
Jabberjaw? Yeah.
It's a great cartoon.
Oh, I'm more of a Grape Ape fan myself.
So also sports.
Oh,
it's been
yeah,
a fun
yeah.
week for sports, too.
That's, yeah. Fucking Kevin Love, man.
I like that he did that.
I do, too.
Hey. Sad woke boys.
Yeah. He, in case anybody hasn't heard, which I'm sure you have, because most of you are in Cleveland, fucking Kevin Love came out and wrote a piece about how he suffers from panic attacks and anxiety and stuff like that. And more power to him. I just guarantee the first game he plays on the road, people are going to be going, pussy, pussy.
Well, we'll find out. I think he'll be all right in Denver, L.A.
Well, then, I mean, when he comes back, he's not going to fucking come back.
Oh, yeah, once he comes back, yeah. We'll see.
Maybe Detroit. In
Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, oh,
yeah.
Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. It's interesting, because I was talking to my friend, one of the Cavs guys, like the big Cavs guys that work, not the writers for the Cavs, that are just like one of our office super fans. And for me, it's like, of course you're going to have panic attacks, because like playing with LeBron,
sure.
And we don't talk about this a lot, is it like...
It's demanding.
It's demanding, but also like, in addition to having the pressure of like managing your own career and your own aspirations, like you're saddled with LeBron's insane desire to be better than Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I can't imagine going to work every day thinking that, like, every day my boss wants me to be better than Woodward and Bernstein. I'm like, come on, man. Like, cut me some slack.
But I like my friend Mike Beater's theory, where he thinks his sadness, depression, and anxiety comes from having a dick so big that he gets depressed because he can't always put it all the way inside of a woman. And so
he's the banana in the Banana Republic.
Yeah,
he,
exactly. And so he's got all these different theories on, like,
it's banana.
Why?
Wink Republic.
Yeah, imagine your shaft, that chilly feeling on the back half of your shaft outside of any woman you choose during intercourse because you were too big for her.
Who said this? William F. Buckley?
This is Mike Beater.
Oh, okay.
And right. I was like, you're kind of obsessed with the Kevin Love's dick. And he's like, it's the only thing I can't buy. Because he's a pretty well-off dude. And Isaiah Thomas wanted to be traded because he was always had to share a room with it. It can tomahawk dunk. It's up to be NBA Sixth Man.
But I guess that's like what people are sort of speculating is that Isaiah Thomas like was pissed that Kevin walked out of that game because his excuse was that he had a panic attack.
Oh, I guarantee.
And it's you know, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I'm sure he's a terrific idiot, but he you know, I mean to me, I'm glad Kevin wrote that essay because it's like, you are sort of battling that mentality in the world when you have those things. Because, like, you know, I mean, we all come from, like, families where you have tough guys who don't want to do,
yeah.
You know, I mean, your dad might need therapy. I mean, your dad's a Mormon. He clearly needs
therapy.
Yeah,
he absolutely needs therapy.
And
never going to do it.
His therapy, he just gets his own planet. Like, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Oh, absolutely.
We're
He's
sort of,
right.
You know, it's...
He had the quote and the thing where he said, yeah, men and boys, like, lack...
But we're also in that bridge generation, you know what I mean? It's like, the generation after ours, you know, I get the sense that they're a little more well-equipped to deal with this.
Yeah.
And then our parents are just like, fuck it, you're a pussy. And then we're in the middle, like, being told, like, it's okay to do this. But also then you got this old drunk in your ear calling you, you know, questioning your manhood. Sure. And it's it's mortifying. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just about every dude in my family needs to be in therapy. Sure, yeah. And none of them are. Mm-hmm. And I can't. And it bums me out that they can't see how much better their lives will be. Mm. I mean, forget about the fact that Kevin Love is going to be probably a better basketball player because of this.
You better be, or else I'm gonna be pissed. It's like, you tell everyone that you're crying during games. You better be better at fucking basketball player.
What, did your hand have a panic attack and just break itself? My hands are also fragile, like my brain.
Imagine if you had to play almost 40 games in 2 years.
Oh, I broke my hand. Sorry, gotta go to LA and hang out.
I can see, look, that Isaiah Thomas thing, it didn't work out. And I can imagine that, he's overcame so much in his life that I'm sure he has, a permanent chip on his shoulder. And, that would be wearing on anybody, especially, a team that's so fucking fragile. But I'm sure, in his defense, he did play, 12 hours after his sister was killed, and then, on a fucking...
Well, that's why he was such an endearing, great story.
Exactly, but, I'm sure he heard Kevin Love say that, and he, fucking was calling him, a pussy and stuff
that. Yeah, I can't... Yeah, and it's amazing to look back, and you see that, if you remember the game where Kevin Love, bent over and handed the ball to Isaiah Thomas a really... kind of patronizing
way.
And it's, you know, you have to think oh man, and they were friends, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they knew each other and
AAU
played AAU
shit.
Together, yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad that Kevin Love stayed here and is still here. And you know, and Isaiah Thomas, you know, I didn't get to see him play enough to really give a shit about him, you know, and I thought he was terrific on the Celtics, he seems so out of place on that team, on this team.
Yeah, he just shoots too. He plays no defense.
I was looking at the box score from the other night in LA, and they're playing pretty well, but he shot 21 times and made four.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
21 times, off the bench.
Yeah, he's clear. Well,
he's lost something.
I think he's still hurt, man. He's his fucking hip came out of it, his pelvis. You know what I mean? I'm sure that takes a long time to fucking.
Well, but look at Derrick Rose. I mean, it's
he still doesn't have a team, does he?
Insane. No, he's getting offered 10-day contracts apparently.
Oh,
which
wow.
is a bummer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oof. Derrick Rose is one of those guys that his body literally couldn't keep up with its own self because he could run so fast, cut so hard, and just do these things. And then just took a beating and just was destroyed by it. Mm-hmm. And then there's only so many hits a body can take before it falls apart. I think Isaiah Thomas has kind of hit that same part.
Yeah, they're both the same age, right? They're both 29.
Yeah, and then you, there's... Unless you are... And when you're in that scoring role, it limits you. Whereas
especially the way the game's played now.
Yeah.
Even 5 years ago, it's a completely different NBA.
You have a guy like John Stockton who wasn't the biggest guy, but he played tough and he never had to score to be effective.
Right.
And that's why he was able to play as long as he did. Steve Nash is the same thing, where eventually his body broke down, but he got better because he actually studied the game and was like, okay, as long as I make some of the threes that I take, I can average, 11 points a game, but get 15 to 17 just by being patient and moving the ball and keeping everybody, off kilter. That's going to equal a better career. And guys like Iverson, guys like Isaiah Thomas, even they put their whole body on the line because they're trying to get into those positions and they just get the shit kicked out of them and then it all falls apart. And it's great to watch in the early years, but it gets sad once they hit 30. Oh, yeah. They're like the running backs of the NFL.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that being said, fuck Derrick Rose. He's a rapist. Allegedly.
But there's,
that's a fucking crazy story,
but
too.
But Jordan, he knew well enough to adjust his game. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he came back and they did that, that third three-peat they, or the second three-peat
the second,
they
did. Yeah, he was a jump shooter.
Yeah, no, he, that fadeaway, you couldn't guard it.
No,
and, once he perfected that, and I think that a lot of the, a lot of that came from playing with Tony Kukoc and Euro player. And, you know, because Kukoc is one of, like, the first, like, big-name Euro dudes to come to the
United States. Sabonis?
Yeah, Arvidas Sabonis. His kid plays, too, now.
Plays for, like, Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we're playing
Indiana.
Indiana.
Is it?
Mm, the Pacers.
But the, as a state. Yeah, but the...
yeah, fuck the Pacers, too.
Yeah, yeah, but you know,
like
I mean...
Depot, though.
Jordan was not going to be, like, you know, doing, like, amazing reverses and, like, dunking from the free throw line.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
No, he adjusted his game and got smarter. That's something that I think LeBron needs to do in the next 2 years is he's got to get a deadly, deadly jump shot. And he's gotten better. He's gotten much better. But he also needs to improve his free throw shooting. And I think he needs to switch to point guard all time. Like, I think he needs... Because, I mean, basically, is the point guard anyway. But I think... Like, he just needs to make those little tweaks, stop scoring so much. And I think with the guys that are on the team now, as that team gels, he's going to see that he can do that because guys like Clarkson and Rodney Hood are slashers and shooters and can give him those bunches of scoring that will relieve that part of the game for him.
I don't know. I think he's... He hasn't really shown his age in the way.
No, not at all.
A lot of people at his age. He's going to, but it's like, it's insane to see how much abuse his body has taken, and how physical, but still how dominant. And I mean, you know, watching him off the dribble, like just smoking
dudes. Oh,
it's like,
did you see him split Tristan Thompson's leg?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's and you see it in person when you go to games. It's like watching him take a rebound and dribble down the court. It's like four steps.
Yeah,
and it's astounding. It's like, I'm so glad that he came back here, because this is like, I had never lived in an NBA city, mm-hmm. so my first game back as a, like, I saw his first game back as a Cav.
Yeah,
in that game where they played the Israeli team, and it's astounding because you don't get a sense of just how like insanely
how dominant he actually is. Yeah,
and just like it's like. You want to feel like a piece of fat shit, go look at LeBron James in person and just it's so shameful as I'm stuffing my face with nachos.
You said Steve Nash earlier, and it reminded me of my favorite video of all time. It's Steve Nash on the highway in a taxi, and these bros like are driving beside him, figure out it's Steve Nash, and then hand him a beer while he's videotaping it.
Oh, so Steve's not driving.
No, he's not.
He's in a taxi.
They hand him a keystone.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
They're all
dead.
All four of those men are dead.
Pretty good so far. That's the funniest fucking thing of all time.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was that in California?
Yeah, it was in LA when he first got traded to LA. Oh, it's like from 2000.
See, I was a Suns fan, so when he got traded to LA, I was very mad.
He didn't fucking do shit. He was broken.
Yeah,
he
was done by then.
Yeah, I know.
He's a Hall of Famer this year, right? I think he got inducted.
Yeah.
He's fucking.
He was awesome, dude. Like,
he was so fun to watch.
He transformed fucking like
Dallas and Phoenix.
Oh yeah. But I just mean like the way that like. The pick and roll shit, you know?
Oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was like the first guy to fucking.
Well, he was doing the pick and roll stuff at such a high pace where the way that the pick and roll was in the, like, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, pretty much, was you get up, you get set, and then you set a.
Yeah.
And then you come from down and you come up and set a pick. Like, you have to get into that set. And the way the Suns were setting pick and rolls. Was get the fuck down there, and whoever's down there first, you set a pick for me, and then everybody else, you'd be ready to shoot a three.
Yeah. The one All-Star Game dunk contest where it's him and Amari Stoudemire, and he like throws it off the fucking backboard, and then like gives a header to him.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like, one of the fucking coolest things.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He played soccer, right?
Uh huh. Yeah.
I think I remember like watching a Conan
Canadian
interview with him. Yeah, he's like a really like bright, well-read dude.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he. I don't know. He was one of the best. He was great to watch.
Steve Nash. If Fucking those Suns teams were...
They were so really close.
So close.
So close. But
oh, it's heartbreaking because like I started watching the Suns in the playoffs. It's like the 93 playoffs when Barkley was playing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, God, they got so... Like, they just... Could have beat the Bulls. Like all, it just makes you think of like how many great basketball players got just totally fucked
by Michael Jordan. But it makes you appreciate LeBron that much more that he's been the 7 straight fucking finals. For That's insane.
Yeah, in a very different NBA. Like I think Jordan would have struggled a little more because there's more widespread talent in this NBA. You know, it's not as concentrated. There were. Terrible teams in those.
Oh,
NBA.
Absolutely.
But
well, it's more of a specialized sport.
If you go back and you watch Jordan's road to those finals against Utah when they went back to back, they're like, and they had to get past the Vince Carter and the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, right? It's like he was a rookie and like they were just there. We were like, I don't know. We just win the games that you know we can. Like they had like. 48 wins, like that was supposed to be like a harrowing defeat. I mean, those games against the Knicks, but that was
earlier on.
Yeah, those were great. The Knicks, but like there wasn't a lot of shit going. And LeBron's had it even easier in the past, you know, 3 years since like getting to the NBA That's Finals true. Been no problem. But like Jordan walked through those first two series, and then the Knicks were a bit of a problem, but they still won in 6 games. I think most times.
Don't get me wrong, I like those Bulls teams were amazing, and I still think they would have. You know, I mean, they would have been dominant teams, but I think it would have been a little more competitive. Like, it just seemed like it was, you know, the Bulls were the Hillary Clintons. It's like, well, who else is going to win? You know what I mean? And it's...
But those Jazz teams were good, too. I mean, the East was just... I mean, there was like 4 good teams, basically, in the NBA, and now there's 3. So, I mean, the NBA has always basically been that.
That was those Jazz Bulls series were the first time I was like kind of conscious watching basketball. You know what I mean? Because I lived in Cincinnati when I was real young, when the Cavs had like Mark Price and shit like that. So I didn't have a team. And then when we moved up here, it was fucking Brevin Knight.
Mm-hmm. Brevin Knight was good. And, I like Brevin Knight, Tyrone Hill, Bobby Sura. Yeah. He was in the dunk contest.
I mean, I liked them, but they were bad.
That's right,
so,
he was. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, they were bad, but they
But I was so I was a big Bulls fan, you know what I mean? Because they were the fucking...
Yeah, there was a... Like, I mean, they like, the Cavs were pretty much awful until LeBron came, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had their years. Like they
did. With Kemp, they had a couple of...
But again, they were in that mediocre, you're going to make the playoffs and lose in the first round. Yeah, like, you're not going to do much. Or you'll be like just like picking 10th or 11th in the lottery. Mm. Like they were just a really mediocre team from the time that like...
From like 93, 4.
I'd say like 95 till like... Because like up until like Mark Price and then like they were a competitive team. Like they
Well, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals one year against the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
Was that the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, I think that was the semifinals, because then I think that was the year that he went and scored 63. Jordan scored 63 on the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. All right.
But then they lost that year because that was still when the Celtics were a dominant team.
I really like. There's a sincere part of me that wishes that they would go back to a 5-game first round.
Oh yeah, for Absolutely. Sure. They don't need
and,
all that.
Well, because then you have the opportunity for upsets. Yeah, which for sure. I mean, it's just like there's nothing exciting. Like the playoffs feel like a second. Regular season, and it's just a
slog. It is. It takes 3 calendar months to
That's
play the
That's why
JR
doesn't get excited about playing this time of year. JR is
Nor should
a playoff
they.
Guy.
Nor anybody should.
Yeah, and I feel like you diminish your regular season product as a company. I mean, like, man, because it was... I remember some of those, you know, the series in, like, the 90s. I mean, you saw upsets in those first rounds, and it was...
Well, this year you're going to see a lot of that because... 3 through 8 in both Eastern and Conference are all right there. Mm-hmm. And the teams that are 9 and 10, I mean, I think the Pistons are 9 in the Eastern Conference, so I doubt they'll get in. But 9 and 10 in, it's like the Jazz who have been like playing great in the Clippers. And I think.
So you think it's going to be more competitive?
It's going to be much more competitive amongst. The teams that aren't playing the Rockets or...
Is it because the good teams are getting older or is it because other teams are getting better?
It's the other teams are getting better. So you're going to have a couple competitive series that are going to build confidence and help build up like those teams. But you're still it's still going to come down to the Rockets and Warriors and probably the Cavs and Celtics or the
Raptors.
Yeah.
So you know, like, so you don't think there's going to be it's not going to be sweeps for Golden State and for Houston. And
I think the Cavs I don't think it'll be sweeps. Not this year.
I don't think the Cavs are sweeping anything.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Although I'm very intrigued with Larry Nance in the starting lineup.
I am very happy about that.
Yeah. He fucking just balled out of control.
Well, that's the thing is like Tyronn Lue has been totally beholden to players that help get it done when we want him. But Tristan Thompson and JR, fucking sit him and then bring him like Ante Zizic is a better backup. Larry Nance is a better starter, especially in this NBA where you don't need. Like he plays better defense than Tristan too,
for sure.
And he's a scorer. So he's so versatile, and it just makes the team better. And then put once Kevin Love's back, you put Rodney Hood at shooting guard, and then you have someone. I mean, JR is good, but he is not consistent.
Very streaky.
Hood's gonna be way more consistent in that role.
Hood has had a couple of rough shooting nights though the past like. Three or four games.
But he'll get it. And I think Hood is a better
I wouldn't be opposed to starting Jordan Clarkson.
I'm probably
Jordan Clarkson. Yeah. I like him a lot.
Yeah. And he's 6'5".
Yeah.
Like, that's there's a lot of length on this team. We don't have... And Zizic has been good, too. Like, he came in on Monday and, like, he looked good.
So,
I will see how it is tonight against a good team. The Nuggets are, like... They were one of those sleeper teams that they could... they could cause some damage. Like, they remind me of that Pistons team where nobody's talking about them, but they're just winning fucking games.
Or
like a Spurs team. They could shoot, and they play defense. That's a good team.
That game against them at home was the most infuriating thing.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was so angry because they got it down to, like, one, and then I had to fight with, like, 2 minutes left in the game. And I had to I had to go to the show. And so I fucking get in my car, start it, and they're down 9. Like, fucking 30 seconds. Yep. I'm like, how is that even possible?
That happened to the Cardinals. Like, this is a funny story. So I have a cousin who is an insane Cardinals fan. Like, nuts about it. He's got a lot. Like, I remember when I came over to his show one time, he was wearing his lucky shirt. It must have fit him in like the 7th grade. I mean, it went down. It was like a crop top.
Yeah.
And I remember I left work, and this was a playoff game where I think it was like a make or break game, right? Mm-hmm. And they were up by like 7 points, and I was like, oh, I got time to like run and get beer.
This is the St. Louis Cardinals,
the baseball team.
Baseball team.
And no, it's the football team.
So I don't know if this was 48. I know this story from like
this story. 1972. This is from 1971. Yeah. No,
he punched his wife in the face, smoked a cigarette,
and it's a lucky strike.
By the time I got to his house, they had lost the game, and he was in no mood to sit around. And,
like bullshit.
The shirt was off. Like it was like he was ready to go. And
I believe it.
Maybe don't introduce alcohol into this situation here. So I get it. Yeah. It's like I don't know. Like the Sixers, I've enjoyed watching. Like they're
fun.
They're becoming an entertaining team.
I like Portland. I've seen a couple of
Portland. Portland, dude. Damian Lillard is
incredible.
McCullough. Yeah, but Damian Lillard's scored like he's had like a couple of 50-point games. He had like 39, 19 in the fourth quarter the other night. Like he's
incredible. It's to watch. Basically him. You know what I mean? If he has
McCollum,
a off night,
McCollum is
But it's, you know,
but like again, they're right in that mix in the West where you have to account for that come playoff time. And I'm not saying that.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to do that for 7 games or, you know, or but four they could, games against a Rockets team.
I feel like they could push them, though, and make them
wear them out.
Yeah, I think it could just give us some good television. Like, it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah,
that's why I like the
NBA.
It's a good
fucking playoff game that doesn't take 3 months to play.
Yeah.
And there's only one of them.
Because one thing that sucks is when it's the NBA, when it goes just back and forth blowouts.
Yeah.
You want those, you know, even if you just watch the last 5 minutes of the game, a lot of times in the NBA playoffs, it's pretty entertaining to watch.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, wow.
All right, we should probably...
Yeah, we're at an hour.
We'll talk about next week. We'll talk about football free agent signings and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad we didn't talk about football.
Yeah.
We forgot to play the national anthem before the podcast.
Oh, no. We always forget.
I know. Whoops.
Well, I've been standing the whole time anyway, so it's not like a...
Well, good on you. Make sure you hug a flag,
people. I will. Hey, catch me later when I'm kneeling at the cross.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. You know where it is. I'll tag it.
Share. Email.
Do it. Do what you can. At Bill Squire. I am Brian Kenny. At Party All the Ryan. At Fantasy Boys with a Z Pod. At Chris Wornowski.
That's it, Twitter?
That's it?
Yep.
All right. Cool. All right. Goodbye. Fuck you.